proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
What a joy and an honor to have you with us once again in this program. And we know that you could be elsewhere. You have many options. But we thank you for tuning us in and spending this part of your day with us, that we hope and pray and ask our Heavenly Father that it will truly be a time of edification for your life, for your spiritual walk, and for your understanding of the promises and the Word of God. So welcome back to this third part of this topic. Spiritual warfare is on, and the darkness has pulled out all the stops. I'm Nena Arias, and it's such a joy to have you with us. Welcome once again. In this spiritual warfare, the devil has pulled out all the stops because he knows he is defeated. He knows that God's plan is advancing, and he is making the most of the time that he has left because his time will come to an end. We have been mentioning in this series some of the examples of how sin is running rampant in our times, in the homes and the streets, in our communities, and no community is exempt. Now, these activities are not new, because since humans fell into sin and Satan declared war on God, he has been doing these things. We're finding out more and more how it is increasing because of the rapid means of communication that we have. And so we hear about things. But the purpose of looking into this topic is not to exalt the power of Satan. I hope that's very clear. The purpose is to exalt the power of God over him, and to remind us that greater is he that is within us. So we do not fear what the enemy may throw at us. However, we must be alert to know how to apply God's word and his power to be overcomers. I hope that is very clear in your mind. Now, us on our own, we are no match for the enemy. We are no match for the enemy. So the only one that can help us be protected against his schemes, against his wiles, is God, Jesus Christ in us, the Holy Spirit working in us and protecting us, and as we apply God's word to our lives and all circumstances, that is our protection against the enemy and the final edge that we have over him. It is only through the power of God and his word that we can do this. So once again, I want to welcome you to the continuance of this topic. Spiritual warfare is on, and the darkness has pulled out all the stops. The 8th chapter of Romans has long been one of my favorites. Of course, I have a lot of favorites, but the 8th chapter of Romans is a very powerful chapter, and I recommend you read it slowly and let it sink into your spirit. In relation to this topic, the spiritual warfare, and not letting the enemy and his schemes intimidate us, I want to read a portion of this 8th chapter, starting with verse 31 on through verse 39. And it reads as follows. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. End of quote. Oh, dear friends, this is so rich, which is why I recommend you go back and read the entire chapter and soak it all in, because it reveals so much of the things that we need to know what we are facing, why we are facing them, to know how God has defeated all the wiles of the enemy, and how we are strengthened, and what the outcome is when we apply God's principles. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not a mere barely slide into home type of victory. We are more than conquerors. It'll be obvious, not only to us, but to the enemy and those who are watching what God is doing in the lives of his people. It'll be more than obvious to everyone that we are more than conquerors through Christ, and that if he is with us, who or what can come against us and triumph? Absolutely nothing. So as we look at the challenges that we are facing and that we need to change in our generation, always keep in mind that we are on the side that wins, and that through any circumstance will encourage your heart and your spirit, and you will have absolutely nothing to fear. Now, our emotions, our physical bodies may react to some of those challenges, but when our spirit and our mind is stayed on God, we will have perfect peace through whatever valley of challenge we have to go through. We are hearing of horrendous crimes committed in communities where people often say, these kinds of things have never happened in our neighborhood, and they're so shocked and surprised. Yet, this is proof that sin is rampant, that even in places where these kinds of acts were not obvious, they're now popping up. We know that sin only grows and increases in intensity because that is its nature. It does not stay small. Even if it may take time, it continues its course of growth unless there is something to thwart that growth, which I've already explained can only be as we walk close with the Lord, as we apply his word, and as we commit our way into his care. So, sin continues to grow. Sin is progressive. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, it describes the different aspects of sin. And it says the following: Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. End of quote. Paul is very clear here of how the sins of the flesh manifest. And there is even a bigger list of things that are not as obvious as these in the passage that we have just read that he lists. So you can rest assured that the danger is all around us. But he says, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some of the subtle sins that I'm talking about is people who are do-gooders, but they do it to appease their conscience. They do it to prove to others that they don't have to be religious or profess any kind of faith to be a good person. And such is the case of many who declare themselves to be atheists. They say, we don't have to believe in God to be moral people. Well, the question is, where do you get the value of your morals if you do not believe in God? There's no justification for any morals that you may endeavor to live by that do not come from God. So there are people who are not sexually immoral or practice sensuality. They don't consider themselves idolatrous, or they don't delve into the occult or the sorcery activities. They say they're not jealous. They don't have fits of anger. They try to cultivate peace, peace, peace. And they don't participate in drunkenness or orgies or any of the things that are listed in what we just read. And they consider themselves moralists. But what are they really telling God? They're making him out to be a liar, because everyone has a sinful nature. And the people who are moralist, more likely than not, set out to prove how good they are. So there is sin along the way, because the Word of God says that nobody's good. There's only one that is good, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who proved it when he came to earth to live in an earthly body. All these horrible things that we see creep up everywhere, and there's no greater victory for Satan than when he can find people to put God and the Bible in the mix to justify their sin and crimes. His goal is always to fight against God and to smear his name. So if he can get people who say that they belong to God, that they hear from him, that they read the Bible and guide themselves by the Bible, yet commit heinous crimes and live like the devil, guess what? He has a very strong victory in those people, because they mention God and they mention the Bible. What do I mean by this? Well, here's a couple of examples. The police reported that an Arizona mom shot her two young children several times because she wanted them to go to heaven. Imagine that. Who lied to her? It wasn't God. It is evident that she listened to the voice of the enemy. She wanted her children to go to heaven. Now, her children are young, and they probably did go to heaven, but that's not the way we are supposed to get to heaven. Another incident was reported in Fort Worth, Texas, where a man confessed to killing three people in what he called a biblical sacrifice. A biblical sacrifice. He lured his victims to his motel room. He killed and dismembered the bodies, then drove them to a dumpster and set them on fire in what he called a biblical sacrifice. And what is worse, the killer also said that he had a deep understanding of the Bible and had been called to commit sacrifices. Do you see how the enemy just seeks to smear God at every turn? And he doesn't care who he uses and what he instructs these people to do. That is so blood-curdling. And many people get confused. Those who do not know God or His Word get confused. I could go on bringing these examples, but I think you get the picture that we are living in very, very sinful times. The increase in satanic activity and the occult is also rising to the top of prominent arenas in our society. And what do I mean by this? Well, for instance, it was reported that in February of 2017, the Boston Globe wrote the following, that along with many new outlets reported the same thing, that a growing legion of self-proclaimed witches from across the country openly entered the political arena to apparently cast spells to bind Donald Trump. Supposedly, to keep him from harming people and the country. Do you think that the devil wants to protect people and protect the country? Do you think and do you evaluate that the actions to help people have jobs, a better economy, to help people to have the freedom to believe and to worship, and all the things that Donald Trump did, that's harming people? These self-proclaimed witches are dangerous, and they can dress up their aims all they want. But bottom line, they are of the devil, and evil is their agenda. They did this every month that Trump was in office, and they are subtle. It doesn't involve big crowds, protests, or marches. They just plan to cast their spells. They send out the instructions of a mass ritual, which they circulate online for a specific date and time. And when they did this against Donald Trump, the word got out. Even the media reported it. But little did these so-called witches know that the prayer power of Christians during President Trump's presidency was stronger than for any other president that we can remember, because we don't remember any other president being so fiercely attacked like President Trump was. So no matter what evil people threw at Donald Trump, all their efforts failed and he prevailed. He was able to finish his term. He did not get a second term yet because God has other plans, but he may still be back in office to be used of God even greater to help raise America back to a better path. We shall see. And then again, God is God. He may have somebody else already prepared in the sidelines to be the next man that he wants to use to bring America back on track, because we're asking God that we want America to be vindicated from all this load of sin and this detour that America took. And one of the 37 indications of a civilization headed for a fall is precisely the belief in the occult. Nationwide, satanic rituals have increased. Again, several years ago, the children have been targeted in witchcraft, with the so-called Disney productions that introduced witches, incantations, and superpower characters into their animated movies. And what can we say of the hugely, hugely popular Harry Potter productions that brought witchcraft right into the lives and homes of America with wide acclaim, and sadly, even into Christian homes. They fell into this trap. Christians should not ignore this and simply, just chuck it, thinking this is irrelevant. It is not irrelevant. Animated witchcraft is not irrelevant. And many of our children are suffering the consequences. America's spiritual and moral downward spiral is the reason for the increase of demonic activity. And it is being promoted as something normal, no less. The movement to promote after-school Satan clubs, quote-unquote, to counterattack the long-standing Christian good news clubs for children, is growing in boldness. And sad to say that many districts cave into these demands, and there are satanic clubs in some schools nowadays. Is this a wake-up call for Christian parents to engage in stopping the onslaught on their children's soul? It most certainly is. No longer is it safe to delegate the education of children into the hands of people who are less than scrupulous, who are out in the open about their rebellion and rejection of God? Why are people still sending their children to the public school systems? I fail to see, when the evidence is so out in the open of how our children are being run over, are being programmed with evil into their minds. And the more Christianity declines in her cultural influence, the more that satanic activity and influence will rise to take its place. There are no vacuums in these realms. If goodness and kindness and godly people are not influencing, guess who else is? And I'm so happy to report that Christians are rising up now to counterattack all these influences through the media, through movies, through documentaries, and they're getting better at it. History is there to demonstrate that these kinds of activities happen to all nations who profess Christianity as their faith. Why? Because they become Satan's target. In the nations where Christianity is not prominent, the difference is evident as manifested in their social conditions. It is obvious when nations profess Christianity as their faith, but they don't live up to their commitment to being salt and light, guess what happens? They bring upon themselves perverted results due to the free reign that satanic influence has, and there's no protection against it. Christians must understand and accept the facts that nations are either ruled by Satan's form of government or by God's government. It is a choice that people make, and that is up to the people. We cannot blame the governments. We cannot blame the politicians. We cannot even blame the president or the prime minister of a nation. The government of a people reflect who the people have become. And it does take a long time to turn things around once perverted people are in government. Nonetheless, it must be done. And past generations have done it for us, and we must also step up to the challenge. Earth is the battleground between the forces of God and the forces of evil. Christians have nowhere to hide. Hell is lashing out in an all-out war against them. It is that time in history and in history's cycles where the future outcome is defined. There's a battle for the souls of the nations, and it is nowhere more evident than in the United States of America. We are at war for the soul of this nation, and it's sad to say that we lost a lot of ground. We're having to work very hard in the spiritual realm and getting active and proactive to try to regain some of that lost territory, but we've lost a lot. Let me ask you this. Are the satanic forces superior to God, to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? And this is the reason why they are dominating? Absolutely not. They are not superior. Satan and his followers, also known as the fallen angels and demons, they're not more powerful than God and his hosts. God is more powerful than they, but God needs us to be on his side and to fight against the forces of darkness. God in Christ entered the battlefield in a human body for the redemption of humanity. Jesus, in his public life, unmasked these evil forces and he brought them under subjection. They have been defeated. They have been bound. The disciples received authority to do the same job in Jesus' name, and so have we. At the cross, the confrontation was for the total disarmament of the evil forces. And this is the mission and commission that we have even in our time. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." End of quote. Here it is, folks. Here is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Christ's triumph over the rulers and authorities of darkness at the cross was part of his sacrificial work that is valid up until today. And what can we say about his resurrection and the ascension of Christ to seat himself at the right hand of God, where he intercedes for us as we continue the work of demolishing Satan's stronghold? That is our goal. Don't play church. Don't play religiosity. Don't even take the name and call yourself a Christian unless you change your conduct. The proof of who we are is in how we live and the fruit that we are producing. We're going to continue with this topic, dear friends, and I hope you will join us. It gets better. We'll see you.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.